Okay, today is Mitzvah 100, as we have a Siyum of sorts here in Yeshiva Reisha Yerushalayim, reaching the 100 mark. Artificial Siyum, because what does 100 have to do with the difference between 99 and 101? But Baruch Hashem, it is still a milestone. Baruch Hashem for all those who are joining us. We have the schus to discuss 100 of the 613 mitzvahs. Really a major, wonderful schus that we have as we continue now with Mitzvah 100. Shelo Yizach HaChoshem Me'al HaEifod. The mitzvah that gets the schus of being number 100 is the Isser, that the Choshen and the Ephod have to always be connected tightly to each other. As we started learning yesterday's Mitzvah 99 was that all the Big Tikkahuna are separate mitzvahs, Aseh D'Oraisa, like the Rambam held, unlike the Ramban who said that it shouldn't have been its own mitzvah, it's just part of the Avodah, but the Rambam held it as a separate mitzvah, Aseh D'Oraisa. So today's a Losa Aseh. The next two Averos have to do with the Big Tikkahuna Losa Aseh. The first one, Shelo Yizach HaChoshen Me'al HaEifod. The Choshen shouldn't shake the breastplate that the Kohen God wears, that has all the special stones on it that we discussed yesterday, is not allowed to shake and be removed me'al ha'efod, from the ephod, from the apron which it is attached to. Shelo nasir ha'choshen me'al ha'efod, that the choshen should not be removed from the ephod. The inyan choshen ve'efod kfar zachronim l'mala, I already mentioned them above. Shem shnayim mishmona beit kohen gadol. This only it applies to a Kohen Gadol, obviously, because the Kohen Hedyut does not wear these begadim. Only the Kohen Gadol. These are two of the four special begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears. V'achoshen ha'yanasun k'neged libo shel Kohen lefanav. And the Choshen, which had all the Shvatim's names on it, was next to the Kohen Gadol's heart. V'ha'ephon me'achorev, and the apron was open in the front. There was more in the closed off in the back. Mechuvan k'neged ha'choshen milafanav. It was mechuvan exactly next to the Choshen. V'ha'ya be'ephon mi'maiso ha'ephon ba'atzmo k'min shtei yados yotzos mimenu. On the bottom, the ephod had a belt that was made from the same material of it. Shechoger atzmo ha'kohen bohem, that the kohen girds himself and wraps himself in. V'hu nikra cheshev ha'ephod. That's called the belt of the ephod. V'osa cheshev ha'ephod. That belt, achas shechoger atzmo bo. V'nasan ha'choshen alibo ha'yomei tachas ha'choshen. Once he attached the choshen to the ephod, then that belt was kind of underneath, between the Choshen and his body. V'tziva ha'kasuv, and the Pasuk tells me, l'kshar taba'osha yukfuin b'choshenim taba'osha yukfuin b'eifod, b'fsil t'cheles. Trivia question, which mitzvahs have a psil t'cheles related to them? Number one is tzitzis. Number two is the connection of the Choshen and the Ephod. They have to be attached by a psil t'cheles, by that same t'cheles thread that is attaching them. K'deshi e'nasun ha'choshen al ha'cheshev derech k'fiyas v'hadar, so that the Choshen stays on the cheshev, on the belt, in a permanent and beautiful and neat way. She'im lo yiksher osam bo'osam taba'os, because if you don't tie them with the rings which are on the Choshen and the strings that are coming out of the cheshev, yeachoshen nod v'nivdal. It'll keep shaking. Mecheshev ha'efod v'noki shaluach libo. It'll bang against his chest. It's not going to be comfortable. V'al zeh ne'amar, and that's the pasuk. V'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod. Klomar me'al cheshev ha'efod. V'targumo lu yisparak. The targum, the uncle says, lo yisparak. You shall not take it apart. And says the chinuch v'hamefarik chiburan b'shas avoda. If the Kohen Gadol is doing the avoda, and someone, either he or anybody else, detaches them from each other, then you get malchus. Lo kemi lavze. Isser da'araisa. The Minchas Chinuch points out in Back in Oz Beis, we'll get to the other osos after, as Hashem, Back in Oz Beis, he says that in the Rambam and in the Gemara, it's not dafka, why only shas avoda? What if it's shalom b'shas avoda? V'enim avur klal b'ramam u'b'shas adafka b'shas avoda chayev. V'nira d'chayev tamid in parach chibur and b'derach kilkel. If they're attached to each other, they stay attached. When the Kohen Gadol takes off the ephod and takes off the choshen, maybe he takes them off even when they're attached. Or even what if he's just walking around the Beis HaMikdash and he's not doing the avoda? There's no isser then? Says the Minchas Chinuch, why not? Why does the chinuch limit it? For Rav Machaber Kasa b'shas avoda, eini odeya miayin yasaloze. Why is it limited? V'tamua d'beforish lahefich. It seems to be just the opposite. What do you mean just the opposite? He quotes the Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara in Makos adaf chav beis and aleph. The Gemara there is discussing a fascinating Mishnah. The Mishnah says you could plow a field and be chayiv 8 averis at once. You plow and you get 8 malchus. What is it? If you plow with a shor and a chamar, an ox and a donkey, meaning kalayim, and they happen to be hektish animals, and you're plowing in a kalayim field, and it's Shemitah, and it's Yontif, and he's a Kohen who's a Nazir in a Beis HaKvaris. right, in a cemetery. So if you do all of those things put together, you're getting eight averas at the same time. So says the Gemara. The Gemara then on the next Amud, Chafez Amalaf says, I can think of another one. So another one suggested is, what if he's the Kohen Gadol who is doing that and being Meziach V'choshen Me'al Ha'ifod? What if you're doing also that at the same time? Right? So the Minchas Chinuch says, what's the suggestion? If it's only B'Shas Avoda, what? He's in a Beis HaKvaris. What's he talking about? So it's Mefurish. The assumption of the Gemara is Mefurish, that it's not talking about, he's doing the Avoda. That's a Tzarech Iyun on the Sefer HaChinuch, says the Minchas Chinuch, why it would be limited to Shas Avoda. Okay, that's number one. Point number two on this, and that is the Chinuch mentions, that if you take it off B'Shas Avoda, Loka Milavzeh, what if you just wear the begadim, bishas, wear one of the less begadim? You wear the eifa without the choshen. So it's mashba that you're not going to get malchus. But if you take it off bishas avoda loke milavze. Where's the ritva? The ritva in Makis on that Gemara says, ukegon shahayalovesh esachoshen v'choresh bo v'chol sha'a over mishum lo yizach. If you wear just the choshen, not tied to the ephod, says the Ritva, that's also lo yizach choshen. You're going to get malchus for that. Even if you didn't take it off, you just put the choshen on, and then you did not put on the ephod with it, that also is the malchus. Then you're going to get malchus. So this relates to this discussion of whether you have to actually take it off or just wear it. It relates to a major issue, and that is there are two different types of averas, two different categories of averas that we sometimes talk about. And that is averas b'shei valtase, not doing something, or averas b'kumvase, I violate actively. Most of the time, it's clear. Are you being active? I hit somebody. I eat treif. All of those are active. Not doing something, right? I have a mitzvah to save somebody's life. Lo samad al dam reyecha. Don't let him drown. And I'm a lifeguard, and I can save him, and I don't. That's an aver b'shei valtase. So usually it's clear. Once in a while, you have cases where it's not so clear. Are you doing something actively? Are you doing something passively? This is one of those cases. If I wear the choshen without the ephod, so is that an active violation of v'lo yizach choshen me'al ephod? The Chinuch says you have to separate. The Ritva seems to say in Makas Chafbeis, no, just wearing it. Where else does this come up? It comes up by Shatnez. The Rambam says in Hilchos Kilayim, Perek Yud, Halovish Kilayim O Miskasa Boloke. If I put on Kilayim, if I put on Shatnez, I put on a suit with Shatnez on purpose, I get Malkus. Hoyel, what if I'm wearing it? And then somebody says, you know what? You're wearing Shatnez, take off your suit. And I say, no, I'm kind of comfortable now. I'm going to leave it on. Do I get Malkus for leaving on the suit? Is that a Maisa? So says the Rambam. It's based on the Gemara. Hayalavish kilayim, based on the Mishnah. Hayalavish bekilayim kolayim kulo eino loke ela achas. Hotzi rosho min abeged vechziro. Hotzi rosho vechziro. Ava bishalo pashad abeged kulo. Harei zechayim akalachas v'achas. Right when I start taking it off and put it back on. Start taking it off and put it back on. So it sounds like from the Rambam that you're going to get Malkus. You have to do a little bit. You got to start taking it off and putting it back on. But mad Rambam murim shu chayim achas al kolayim b'shuzir b'asra achas. Avalam hisru bo v'amru lo pshot pshot. If somebody keeps telling me, take it off. And each time I don't take it off, and there's a separate asra, then even just not taking it off, I'm going to be chayiv malchus. That's the Rambam. Wearing it is chayiv malchus. Related to this, it's a fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What happens, those of you who learned brachas this year, brachas daf yud tesma beis chafam and aleph. If I see somebody in the shuk, walking in the street, and I see he's wearing shatnez, do I have to do anything to him? Says the Rambam, heroic kilayim shel Torah al chaveiro. I see my friend wearing shatnez daraisa. Afilu hayam mahalik bashuk kofetz lo v'karla miyad. I go over and I'm supposed to rip off the shirt. I'm supposed to rip his suit off of him. V'afilu hayam rabo. Even if it's my rabbi that taught me Torah, why she'ain kavod abrius docha iser lo sasiyam aforish b'Torah. No, none of this kavod abrius. V'lam nitche. But what about hashavas aveda? What about yes other cases? Tumas meis says the Rambam. If I see my friend wearing an iser daraisa of shatnez, I take it off. Says the Rosh. The Rosh says, no, you don't have to take it. You don't have to rip it off him. That's the Rosh in Hilchos Kilayim. This machlokas is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Kilayim, in Yoredeya, in Simin Shin Gimel. Haroa Kilayim Shel Torah Al Chaveiro, Afilo Hayim Alech Bashuk, Kofitzlo, he's going to be embarrassed, you're ripping his shirt off him. It doesn't matter, he's doing an Issa Daraisa. The Yesh Omrim says the Ramah, Dim Hayalove Shogeg, if the guy doesn't know about it, ain't Sarach Lomar Lo Bashuk. Mishum Kavad Abrius, no, you don't have to say he doesn't know. Meaning, what's the issue here? What is the machlokas here between the Rambam and the Rosh? So explains the stipler in Brachas, in Simin Yud. You know what this case is? Somebody else is kumvaseh. He is walking around with shatnez. Like the Rambam says, that's called kumvaseh. I am sheval taseh. If I don't say something, I'm not doing anything. I'm passive. So do I have to say something? The Rambam says, the case is called kumvaseh, active aveira. That's why you got to say something. Masha'en Kane says the Rush, this is all the disciple talking, and Simon Yud says the Rush, no. So what, mitzido, it's kumvaseh, mitzidi, it's shev al tasa. I'm not doing anything, and therefore I don't have to do anything. That's the beautiful explanation of the stipler in Simid Yud. Ava pisha b'mini asomi ze eno ela aveir b'shev al tase mikol makom kivan sheitzel chaveiro shalovish b'kelayim o aveir kumbase m'chui v'motzi lifsho him l'poshto imenu. Right, that's the Rambam. Mashiachet, according to Tosas, no. Meet CD, it is shev al tase, and therefore I don't have to. That is the shita of the Rush. Where else does this come up? Comes up in a tshuva that I've mentioned in various places in the past. And that is the Noda B'Yehuda in Sima Lamed Hei. Noda B'Yehuda has it's a heart-wrenching tshuva. It's an amazing tshuva. If you've never seen it before, I mentioned it in a tshuva shiur and other shiurim. The tshuva is as follows. A Talmud of the Noda B'Yehuda wrote him a letter that he wants to do tshuva. He's been mezana with an Ashes Ish for 3 years in his neighborhood. And it's been terrible. And he wants to do tshuva. So the question is, how do I do tshuva? How many fast days? That was his shiloh to the Noda B'Yehuda. So the first half of the Noda B'Yehuda, and he also asked, do I have to tell the husband? Because the husband doesn't know anything. So the first half of the tshuva is the halachic discussion of, does he have to tell the husband? The second half is, what kind of tshuva? So we're not going to go to the second half, that we've just discussed before in tshuva shirim, where the Noda B'Yehuda says that you're asking me something that's not really in the Shulchan Aruch. You ask me how many fast days. I can give you halachic answers, not answers like this. And he said that if you ask me, even if you fast the fast days, the life of Musu Shelach, it wouldn't be enough for what you did. So he says, I can't really give you a number of fast days. He says, and anyway, the ikar of fast day is not the fast, but it's the Torah and the tefillah and v'chula v'chula. And he helps him. He helps him to tell what he's going to do. But in the first half of the tshuva, he discusses, does this guy have to tell the Baal? Because we know the halacha is, an eshes ish zinsa is a surah labayla. If a woman is mezana willingly, she has to get divorced from her husband. If she's nanas, if she's raped, rachmana litzlan, so then, they're both rachmana litzlan, but if she's raped, rachmana litzlan, she doesn't have to get divorced, unless her husband's a kohen. But if she was mezana willingly, then she must get divorced. So every time the husband lives with her, he's be'isser. So let's think about this for a minute. It's exactly the same machlokas as the Rambam and the Rush. He is doing an active aveira b'shogeg. I, by not telling him, I'm doing an aveira b'shev al tasa. By not telling him, it's just like I see somebody wearing shatnez in the shuk. So the Noda B'Yehuda says, maybe this is the exact machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. And then he goes and continues, I'm not sure if it would be the same machlokas, because maybe over there, by shatnez, everybody knows. Everybody sees the aveira, and here nobody sees anything. It's all in private. So nobody knows that she was mezana. So maybe there's no chil Hashem here, or maybe the chil Hashem is the aveira itself. Not that everybody knows about it. You need a posek. It's a major sugya. And at the end of that section, he says, you know what? He says, I think you have to tell him, but tell him in private. And you know what? He doesn't have to believe you because you're an eid echad. You don't know from hearsay from the wife. So you have to tell him. Then he could decide what he has to do. But I think you have to tell him. That is his. He knows. He doesn't have to say that it was with me. He could just say, I know she was mezana. Why does he have to? It doesn't matter who she was mezana with. So he doesn't have to be mefarsi mischeit. Anyway, that's what he goes through. But what does that have to do with us? It has to do with the line of kumvaseh and sheval tase. It's not always clear, like in this case, where the perpetrator is kumvaseh and the one who knows about it is sheval tase. And that's maybe why the chinuch want to write the clear-cut case. And that is, what's the case that you definitely get in Avera? A case where you separate the choshen and the ephod from each other, b'shas avoda. If you happen to just be wearing it, the Ritva says that's chayev also. It's chayev malchus. But the chinuch does not say that. Okay. Let's continue a little more. If there's time at the end, maybe we'll read more of the of the Noda Bihuda. Mishar Shia Mitzvah, let's get into some of the Hashkafa. What's the message for us? Not to separate the Choshen and the Ephod. So the Chinuch says, Shabracha Ratsa Hashem Latova Seinu Lizhusenu Bagdalas Oso Abes HaKadosh. Similar to the other mitzvahs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Beis HaMikdash to be the most inspirational experience building, and when we go there, we should have the most amazing experience. V'lios kol asher bo, and everything in there should be mechuvan v'kavua al mechono, should be perfect and neat and set. Bein inyan kelev shiyu b'tachlos ha'shleimus, whether you're talking about the kelim, the mizbeach, and the menorah, and the kior, bein inyan kliya m'sharsim, or the begadim, could go to malbushim eile, like we said yesterday. The kohanim have to look beautiful. Sheheim elu bashim ebehem b'shas avoda. Shehakol yeh nachon v'shalim b'tachlos ha'shleimus. Gotta be, look beautiful. If somebody looks, if this person's not tucked in, if a person's all messy, if you see the choshen shaking around, it's not gonna be as inspiring. So therefore, ube emes kimino yainyan ushalo yia choshen navanad aluach libo el yamucham kavuak min chomer. It should be perfect and set and neat. Va'at shemanu tov mizeh nachzik bazeh. And until I hear something better, that's what I'm suggesting. Says the Chinuch, that it's about the larger discussion that we've had about the neatness of the begadim. There is, we mentioned in a parsha here a couple of weeks ago from the Shemana Tov, two other beautiful thoughts. And that is the Gemara we mentioned yesterday in Zvachim Daf Peches tells us that each of the big de kahuna are mechaper for a different aveira. And if you look on the list, the choshen is mechaper for monetary sins. That's why the Ksos named his sefer the Ksos HaChoshen, right? Because the Choshen is the Chaper monetary, and the Ksos is on Choshen Mishpat. So that's on monetary sins. The Eifod is Mechaper on Avodah Zarah. Says the Shemana Tov in his first Pshat, maybe we want to connect Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. Avodah Zarah, which is the symbol of Bein Adam LaMakom, and the Choshen, which is the symbol of Bein Adam LaChavero, you can never separate the two. For lo yizach haChoshen me'al ha'efod. Eifod mechaber l'avodah Zarah, v'choshen mechaber l'avodah Zadinim. V'im kein yesh lomad de'efod mor'am b'zal l'nyarni Bein Adam LaMakom. Mash'en kein haChoshen ba'al l'nyarni Bein Adam LaChavero. V'al zeh ba'al yizach shalizach haChoshen me'al ha'efod. To yisr l'havdil afilu chot ha'sayro. They can't be separated. It's two equally exact, perfect halves of the Torah. This is what we like to mention also from Rav Huttner on the Rashi at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu took half of the blood from the carbon of Maimon Har Sinai and sprinkled it on the Mizbeach, and the other half he sprinkled on the Am. Says Rashi, who split the Dam? A Malach came down and split the Dam. Ask Rav Huttner, you need a Malach to split Dam in half? B'malach v'chilako? Says Rav Huttner, because what do these damim symbolize? The dam on the am symbolizes Bein Adam LaChavero. The dam on the Mizbeach symbolizes Bein Adam LaMakom. And lest anyone in history ever say that one is a drop greater or bigger or more important than the other one, a malach came down and split it. Because it's exactly equal, Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. And that's where Rav Huttner ends off with the amazing line, the godless of Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Radin, was not that he wrote the Mishnah Brura, all about Hilchos Bein Adam LaChavero. And not that he wrote Shmiras Halash, not that he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, which is all about Hilchos Bein Adam LaMakom, and not that he wrote Sefer Shmiras HaLashon and Lashon Hara, which is all about Bein Adam LaChavero, but it's that both Svarim were penned by the same author, Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. That's the gavlus of the splitting of the dam, and that's the message, says the Shemana Tov, of this mitzvah. Number one. Number two, his other suggestion, also beautiful, is that we know that on the ephod, as we discussed yesterday, there were two stones on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, all with the shvatim, six shvatim written on one, six shvatim written on the other one. On the choshen, each shevet had its own stone. So says the Shemana Tov, the Avnei Shoham, which were on the ephod, symbolizes the unit of Klal Yisrael. The Tzibor, yeah, it's two groups, but it's really the Tzibor. Like we said yesterday, the Nosarim, the Choshen symbolizes the Yachid, each unique individual Jew. The Koach of the Yachid and the Koach of the Tzibor. The potential of every single individual person, that's the Choshen. The potential of Klal Yisrael together, that's the ephod. V'lo yizach ha-choshem el ha-ephod. You can't separate the two, you gotta put them together, the Koach of the Yachid and the Koach of the Tzibor. Good. Dini HaMitzvah. Continuing. Couple of other halachas of the mitzvah. Go on Maisach, Choshev, Eifod, Vatidah, Levishasan, Vyatapratem, Muvoram, Bemidas. The rest of the halachas and the seder of putting them on is explained in Meseches Midos. One ha'ara that I didn't get to mention yesterday, but it has to do with what we just learned. Yesterday in the Minchas Chinuch, in Os Yud Gimel, in last mitzvah, in Os Tzadik Tes, the Minchas Chinuch discusses that if you look in the Gemara, what order do the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol have to put their begadim on? Is there an order? What if some people put on their pants first, some people put on their shirt first? Is there an order? All the Gemara says is Mechnasayim have to be first. the long shorts, the mechnasayim, have to be first. That's all the Gemara says. But if you look in the Rambam, in Osir Gimel, he quotes it, the Rambam has an order for all eight begadim. The mechnasayim first, and then the ketones, and then the avnit, and then the mitznefes. Everything, all eight. So first of all, we don't know where the Rambam gets that from. The Rambam says this is the seder of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna. The Minchas Chinuch and other achronim point out the Rambam made this. I mean, this is his own svara because the Gemara only says Mechnasayim, and then he discusses in the next paragraph Uba Arachayim Hilchas Tefillin. He wonders how Ma'akev is the order. Is this like we know the halacha of Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh? If you picked up your Shel Rosh first by accident, you put it down. You got to put on the Shel Yad first. You put it down. You pick up the Shel Yad. What if he picks up his shirt first? Does he have to put it down and then put on the other? But he picked up his belt first. Is it so ma'akev? He says, l'chor, yeah. It sounds like from the Rambam that it's ma'akev and the order has to be straight. And then he says, no, what if you already put it on? Do you have to take it off? Because by tefillin we paskin, if you already put on your shel rosh, then you don't take off your shel rosh to put on your shel yad. Then, it's ein brer, you already did it. Then maybe you just put on the shel yad, so maybe here too. Even if you put on your shirt, you know, leave your shirt on and then put your pants on. But then, says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe not. Because the shel rosh at least was a mitzvah. We learned this year, tefillin are two mitzvahs. So at least by shel rosh you accomplished something, so you don't want to undermine it, so we say leave it on. Mashenkin, all the begadim are one big mitzvah. And the whole point is the order. So maybe you would have to take it off even if you put it on. That's what he says in the next page. Venira, tahachanah. Maybe not, because here each beged is not its own mitzvah. So he leaves that has to do with the order of the choshen and the ephod. Just an important ha'arit to note that the Rambam, the Gemara only says one, the mechnasayim first, while the Rambam has an order for all eight of the begadim. Continuing the chinuch now, this mitzvah applies bizman beis hamikdash bizacharim benakevus klomar she'echad isha ochad isha shepir chiburim lokif. If anybody takes it out, one is chayav malchus. One important machlokus to mention, and that is we're talking about the choshen and the ephod. So according to Chazal, and this is the Ramban made this Chazal famous. The Ramban right here in our parsha, there is another beged which is not one of the eight, but what we call the Urim V'Tumim. What's the Urim V'Tumim? So we usually assume the Urim V'Tumim was something, a klaf, something that had Shem Hashem on it, that was put inside the fold of the Choshen, and the Ramban at our parsha explains that that's what gave the koach to the Choshen to light up. And whenever a question was asked of the Kohen Gadol, the letters lit up based on the power of this Urim V'Tumim that went inside the Choshen. And that's the famous Gra, where the Gra says that was the problem with Eli. Eli misinterpreted what it said on the Choshen. Really, it said Kisara or Kishera, and he thought it said Shikora by Chana. That's the Gra on the Parsha. Fine, that's the Ramban and the Gra. But if you look in the Rambam, the Ksava Kabbalah makes this Ha'ara. Amazing Ha'ara. If you look in the Rambam, in the order of Levisha, he says nothing about Urim V'Tumim. He doesn't mention when to put the Urim V'Tumim in. It says the Ksava Kabbalah, if you look closely at the Psukim, it could be, and he says, this is what I think the Rambam says, you can look up the Ksava Kabbalah right here, I think the Rambam holds the Urim V'Tumim were the stones on the Choshen. It was nothing inside. The stones on the Choshen themselves had the power to light up. Urim, they were Meir and Tumim, they were complete, they were broken, and they were shaped by the Shamir, the worm. They weren't cut. That's Urim and Tumim. But he says, if you look in the Rambam, if you look in the Psukim, there's no inkling that it's a separate idea that you put inside the Urim V'Tumim. No! The stones themselves were called the Urim V'Tumim. He says that's what he thinks the Rambam says, even though Chazal are against it, but he thinks that this is a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, what were the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, this is the second of three mitzvahs related to Big Day Kahuna. Tomorrow, B'ez Hashem, we finish Big Day Kahuna, the last one, and that is the Isra of ripping the Me'il of the Kohanim. Shkoyach.